Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
No. Henry need a break.
All right, that's ridiculous. Yeah, Henry does need a break. All right, that's Marcus. I'm Ben. To my left is Henry Needs a Break Zabrowski.
Hello, my name is gun expert Howard Templeton. Now,
what?
The first thing you got to know when you get yourself a new gun is that, number one, a gun should never be used to get any sort of revenge.
What should
killing
a gun
anyone is not going to... Wait a second, I'm reading this wrong. Actually... It's the perfect way to get revenge.
It's the best way to get revenge.
If you need to say no to your boss,
that's right,
in the most permanent way possible, get yourself a gun.
That's right. And of course, Mr. Templeton was the sage and the guru of many a person who might do a thing that we like to call spree killing. And that's today's subject.
Woo.
Spree killers. Holy Lord, what a subject it is.
I honestly, this is one of the scariest topics that we have ever researched.
Surprisingly scary, right?
Like, for me, because it's how we're going to die.
Yeah.
It's the American disease. We generate murderers. They are coming for us.
Right.
And we're the perfect victims.
What polio
because what is
was
better
to...
than seeing me running screaming down a hallway going,
oh, it's
like,
great.
No!
He got a gun!
Yeah, I'm built for that.
I would love to watch you running as fast as you possibly could.
I'm a born victim.
Away from a bullet.
No, buddy! No, let's be cool, man! No, dude!
Yeah.
Those are gonna be my last words.
That's
my
right.
My last words are gonna be like, put down the gun, buddy! We all could be friends!
That's right. The plague in the Dark Ages, polio in the 20s, and spree killing in the year 2000s. That's the way that we're gonna die.
People... pop off around here.
That's right.
And that's what we have learned. That's what I have learned.
Real quick, let's get to the bottom of this, because I had a question for Marcus before the show even began. Spree killing versus mass murder. Well, what's the difference?
Well, spree killing is defined by within the criminal justice system as multiple murders, more than four, that occur in more than one location without a cooling off period. The cooling off period is something that a serial killer has.
Get your Gatorade.
Yeah, because he has to sit down. He's got to watch the tape.
sit on the bench, like learn what mistakes you made.
Yeah, within like a relatively short period of time, that is what separates a spree killer from a serial killer. No cooling off period or a relatively short.
Is it always same day?
Not always same day. It can be over a period of a week. It seems like, from what I've noticed, the most amount of time it can be up to like a month.
So
I just feel like that it gets to
the
like
criminal justice system is flawed. Okay,
it is flawed.
Like, it's very flawed. It's ever changing.
So if you just kill three, you're not technically a mass murderer.
You're not nobody.
You're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your fucking shit together.
If you kill
and
three,
start thinking about why are you doing what you're doing.
That's right. That's right.
You know, because if you're gonna get in the game for life.
Play to win.
We've all learned one thing about Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That Bo Jackson played two games as hard as humanly possible.
That's
if
right.
He could play football and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you can't go out kill five.
That's right.
Kill seven.
If you killed three, you might as well kill eight. You know?
I mean, unless you're just, I don't know, dabbling.
All right. That's right. So a mass murder happens in one instant, and a spree killer has a cooling off period.
Yeah, a mass murder, that is four or more in one location.
Yeah, in one go.
Yeah,
that's
just
right.
Just
hey, fans out there, don't bother killing last podcast on the left. There's only three of us. No one will give a shit.
I think you technically count as two.
Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that.
What a lot of people don't know about Ben is that Ben is actually two people in a large man's clothes.
That's
there
right.
Is a, there is a bottom
together.
Half that's just a silent pair of legs mm-hmm. with a weird little head that's up inside the top half Ben's
right.
tiny little ass.
Oh, is it tiny now? Thank God. All right, so there's a couple different types of spree killers, right?
There's five different types of spree killers, and this comes from the Encyclopedia of Crime and Punishment, which is a wonderful reference book.
Now I just can't stop thinking about a head in my asshole. Like a small... You know that scene in the movie It when they have their fortune cookies and the eyeball just pops out?
I just imagine you
cookies?
You relaxing on your couch,
right.
Your torso independent, sitting there next to your leg half.
Right, right, right.
Your leg half's going like...
I gotta give him some graham crackers.
And,
yeah,
and they're fucking, yeah, with Frank's Red Hot. Eat do you know that he goes through about three Frank's Red Hot bottles a night?
Bottles?
Not a night. A week.
They're just strewn around the house like empty beer cans.
I've seen them.
It's like you're a giant. And you just drink. Imagine you're like a cartoon giant where you sit, drink a bottle of Frank's Red Hot, and then like burp a fireball.
Yeah. It's sort of like that. It's sort of like the final level in the original Super Mario Brothers, I suppose. What's the Super Mario's where you jump all over the flame things?
The Super Mario Brothers.
The Super sure. Mario Brothers.
Anyway, let's get to spree killing. By the way, I apologize. Everyone's extremely hungover on very little sleep today. So
I'm fine. I had a great night's sleep.
All right, Marcus.
Well, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, sit over there in your fucking high horse.
Ivory Tower.
That's a tall horse you got on underneath you.
Real cocky, well-rested Marcus Parks.
All right, let's get into some fucking
yes.
murder.
Okay, right. Type 1 serial or spree killers. Let's do this.
And note before we begin that many of the spree killers fit more than one category.
That's right.
So
yeah, some of them are regular Bo Jacksons themselves.
I don't want any more Bo Jackson references.
I'm just saying it's a very convenient way to talk about serial killers.
And you know what? I was thinking about Bo Jackson this morning when I was doing my last minute research.
Been thinking about him a lot recently.
Why is everybody... Okay, let's just get to spree killers. Can we please?
All right. Spree killer number one, type number one, these are what you call your Hollywood darlings. These are the people who the movies are made about. These are the people that inspire...
The real stars, star power.
These are the people that inspire movies like Natural Born Killers and Badlands.
Now, they want this.
They want this.
The whole point of this is these are people who feel like nobodies and they want to get some sort of recognition for something in their life.
Exactly. And they're also people who will kill anyone that gets in their way. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be a family member. It could be a stranger. They just don't give a fuck.
That's right. They don't much care.
They only YOLO. You only live one time.
You need more sleep. You're just going to need to get more sleep.
So the one that we're going to cover on this one is Charles Starkweather and Carol Ann Fugit, his girlfriend.
Fugit.
And these people had a wonderful song written about them by the boss. Badlands.
This is amazing.
Which is that?
It's a pretty upbeat song considering they just murdered a bunch of people.
They killed 10 people over 8 days in 1958.
Sounds like the song you play when you just want Blingo. The boss is here with us. Thanks for being here, Bruce. Bruce, what do you think about Starkweather? What do you think about Mr. Starkweather? You think Bruce is one of those like autistic people who can't speak, he can only sing?
Well, yeah.
You know? It's like how some of those people with MS can't walk, they can just dance.
He's only just about to ever leave on a road trip forever or like with his girlfriend Mary, or he's singing about the boardwalk.
He is mildly autistic, isn't he?
So Charles Starkweather was what one would call a whiny little bitch.
Okay.
He was his girlfriend was a smash-nosed pug woman.
A smash-nosed pug woman?
Yes.
Wow.
So he was a guy that was murdered, or he was bullied a lot when he was a kid in elementary school. He had myopia.
That
means that he couldn't see more than 20 feet in front of him.
How'd he kill these people so good?
Well, they were all close range.
I guess.
And they were all really fat.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend was giving him directions. Like, nope, more to the left.
That's adorable. That is adorable.
Yeah. Oh, they loved it, man. They were in it together.
So where did all these killings take place?
All of these killings took place in Nebraska.
All right.
The guy grew up a little bit. He became a bully when he was in middle school.
Sure.
He got a little bit larger.
Like Jackie.
Jackie Zabrowski from the Roundtable, of course.
Yeah, and then at 16, he dropped out of high school, got a job as a garbage man, and he met this girl, Carol Ann Fugit.
That's always a nice fuck you to your teacher. Like, I don't need your high school degree. I'm going to go make
it. I'm going to go take dirty diapers and put them in a big stinky truck.
Hey, Mrs. Thompson, do you have any trash for me today, Mrs. Thompson? You should have stayed
in trash.
School.
And it was about this time that Rebel Without a Cause came out, and he just became obsessed with James Dean.
So James Dean, Rebel Without a Cause, that's the thing that motivated him to get into the spree killing.
I think it was. It definitely got this attitude in his head. He's one of those just extremely impressionable people where he sees it. He's already got some sort of psychological flaw, and he sees this character on screen. I don't give a fuck.
Well, it's very similar to The Catcher in the Rye and what people, like, how they attach their identity onto that, of this idea of, like, somebody, especially then he died an early death, which even more romanticizes his thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he meets Carol Ann Fugit at about 17. They're dating for about a year. And of course, her parents don't like her dating the Starkweather boy,
the garbage man.
Well, it's also because he's probably, because they're spree killers, like, you imagine their sex. Must be great and loud. And they're living in a shanty house.
Sure.
And it's just like, wham, 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 wham. And it's just like, that's stuck where the boy's going to destroy our daughter's perfect vagina.
Perfect vagina. Oh, my.
So the first murder happened on December 1st, 1957. It was a gas station worker named Robert Colvert. Charles Starkweather goes in and he says, you know what? I want to buy this little stuffed animal for my girl, but I don't have enough money. Can you give me some credit? Of course, Colvert says, no, you're the garbage man.
Yeah.
You're not going to pay me back.
Right.
Absolutely not.
You are the garbage man.
But I got all these cans. What about, well, I got some, this is just dirty papers.
Get out of here, Starkweather. Get out of here.
I make money.
So, of course, he got hurt. He got a little butt hurt, and he goes back later that night, and he shoots Colvert in the head.
Fuck yeah.
That's his very first murder. So he goes to his girlfriend. He tells Fugit, he was like, so I just killed the fucking gas station guy. What do you think?
What's the world coming to when garbage men are killing gas station men?
Literally a rocket of squirt shot her, and her head hit the top of the car.
Right, right. She just came. Came buckets and buckets of cum.
And so after this, after he told Carol, like, I killed this guy, and she said, you know what, it doesn't matter. We're going to be together forever.
Hell right. Yeah.
I mean, this is a real, like, this is a real make or break moment for a relationship.
Right? It's like moving in together.
I could
where
tell
you think that, like, you know, you moving in together, you're going to really put stress on the relationship, see if it holds.
This is like the first time you propose anal sex. You know, like, maybe she'll be into it, maybe she won't. We'll see. You know, this is like, they could go either way. When you're in the car and you just murdered a gas station attendant.
I really feel like that's how I'll know if I'll get married, is if I could turn to my significant other and be like, I just killed somebody. And they were like, I love you.
Right.
He's just like, and I'll be like,
but
yeah!
You're still here with me. This is love.
And so Starkweather, after he thinks that the relationship is sealed, he thinks, you know, it's time to patch things up with the fam. He goes over, this is time, I really got to make good with the parents. I really have to make them like me here.
The irony,
if this is going to work.
Pretty remarkable. He just murdered a man. He's just like, you know, I
got
to make her.
He got some spring in his step.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
He went over to the house. He asked Carol's father, listen, let's go hunting.
Okay.
You know, let's go sure. hunting. Let's bond as father and son. Father says no. So he goes to the mother.
This is bad fathering.
Yeah. So he goes to the mother and he says, listen, I bought you two pieces of carpet. This
he
is
bought
my
her carpet.
Two pieces of carpet.
He's a garbage man. Do you have an idea how many cans it takes to get two pieces of carpet? It's
he didn't
like
buy that.
Cans.
He just took that carpet from the dump.
And so, of course, an argument broke out after they still said, no, my daughter's not going to marry a garbage man who has no high school education.
But he has two pieces of carpet. One is shag. The other is green carpet.
And so what he does then is he just completely becomes unhinged. He shoots the mother in the face, and he shoots the father in the back of the head. There's also a 2.5-year-old child there. The child starts screaming. Starkweather starts slashing at her throat with the knife, and then to make sure that no one survives, he just goes and stabs everyone again multiple times.
Sure.
He takes the mother. He takes her out to the outhouse, and he just kind of sets her down on top of the commode.
My teacher said I would never finish anything. I'll finish something.
Show her everybody hates my art projects in school, and I'm going to show her I'm going to make an awesome one, and they're all going to freak out when they see my shit.
Yeah, and then he takes the kid. He puts the kid in a box of garbage. throws that one in the outhouse as well.
And that's his ultimate MO. Yeah.
Yeah,
now I'm the garbage making man.
Yeah, this really could have gone different for him. The garbage man killer.
But then he takes the father and he takes him out to the chicken coop.
So he took. So we got a chicken coop. Father in the chicken coop picking out dough. But then we got a baby in the garbage bag. And then where's the mother?
Do-si-do. The mother is also in the outhouse.
So we got a mother in the outhouse. This is a real country song.
Yeah.
Mom in the outhouse.
Daddy in the coop.
Baby in the garbage can.
Mother's in the outhouse. Chicken out. Go. Father in the chicken poop. Go, go, go. It still goes down to Georgia. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Stark weather went down to Georgia. So after this, they live in the dead parents' house for the next 6 days. They think they're honeymooning.
Rent free.
Like, it's rent free. They're just hanging out. They put a handwritten note on the door that says, "Stay away. Everybody is sick with the flu." So that works for 6 days.
I mean, technically, that's like a Dark Ages way to get people to not come to the house, but only in Texas. Or where was it? Nebraska?
Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, people walking up be like, "Well, you know, it can't go in there."
No.
All dead inside.
They got themselves a dead nailed squirrel to the door. I mean, that means we can't go in there.
I mean, I'm sure they must be sick because I put the note out front, but it sounds like two people are pretty rambunctiously fucking in there. Ain't no sick people in that.
All right, so he's up to four murders.
He's
now
up
already.
To four murders,
and this all
now.
Happens in a matter of a week or so.
I mean, the first murders happen within about like 3 days of each other.
So he caught the bug.
Yeah, he caught the bug, and then they stay in the house for about 6 days, and they decide, all right, someone's going to figure this out eventually. We got to get the fuck out of here. And the police didn't show up until like they showed up a couple hours after they had left.
Holy shit! So they really did like, or did they get tipped off? Did they think that the police were coming?
They didn't get tipped off. They had no friends.
Yeah.
Like, they had no idea. It's not like they had a police scanner.
No, they had each other.
That's all they had.
God, that's so romantic.
It really is. And so from then, they go on the road, and this is just when they start killing every person they come into contact with.
All right.
They've got shotguns. They've got a .22. They've got a rifle. They're just fucking killing everyone. There was a
people. So where do they go to?
They went to Bennett, Nebraska first. There was a family friend they were going to go see.
Okay.
And then they came upon someone in the snow that had their car had broke down. So they got, it doesn't know, they, we don't really know what happened, but they just shotgun blasted the guy in the face so hard and so close that the guy's, most of his head was gone.
And again,
he's
farsighted, so he can't see anything close to him.
That's called a Nebraska top hat.
Yeah, I've heard that.
No then, head.
Yeah, and then they went. They went to this guy's kitchen. They got more guns. They got cash, and then they fucking set out again. They picked up this couple, a hitching couple named Robert Jensen and Carol King. They were 17 and 16. This is possibly their most fucked up action of all. They took these people to an abandoned schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They tied them up. They tied them up in the storm cellar. Starkweather shot Jensen, the man, 6 times in the head and the girl once in the head. They were discovered by the police and the girl's pants were pulled down and the genitals had been mutilated by a knife. Just absolutely slashed.
This also probably fits into the sexual crimes as well.
Because
I feel like they must have been getting their rocks off killing people.
It said that she was jealous of this girl. That the girl, she thought that
the woman did it.
Yeah, she thought that the girl did this and the girl admitted to this crime. This was the murder that the girl was put away for.
Miss Fugate.
Fugate. Yeah, Fugate. This was the only murder that Fugate was put away for, which is why she got out in about 17 years.
Right.
Man, she must have been awesome after that. Is she still around?
Yeah.
She remarried in 2007.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. She just lived a great life.
Yeah. She thought that Starkweather is sexually attracted to the girl, and so she acted out of jealousy and was like, "Well, you want her pussy? Oh, yeah, you're not going to get the pussy.
Oh, you made that pussy just right for me, baby."
Yeah. And then from there, it's just killing after killing after killing. It's just every person they meet.
Was there a destination in mind, or were they just cruising around until they ran out of gas?
Not really. I mean, they returned to their original hometown. They returned to a place, a rich neighborhood, a place where Charles picked up garbage all the time.
Right. Oh, yeah, perfect.
So now
it's a workplace revenge killing.
Yeah, now it's a workplace revenge killing. He broke into this woman's house. Her name was Clara Ward. And she broke.
She's dead, bitch.
He broke into the house.
What did she do to you, Henry?
It's that name, I can tell immediately.
Claire Ward.
Yeah. Pop, pop, pop. And she's like, "No, pick up my garbage, garbage man." He's just like, "Yeah, you're going to be garbage soon for the vultures. Vultures going to come and you're going to eat your bones, bitch."
You've gone to an odd place.
So then he makes the woman make them breakfast. He makes them wait on her hand and foot.
Wow.
This whole time he's telling them, like, you're not going to be hurt. And then he ties them up in separate rooms because
again,
the woman's maid was also
there. Don't let yourself get
tied up. Never let yourself get tied up.
You know, the key is that you're when you get tied up, tense yourself. Tie yourself up. Tensile your muscles.
That's true.
And then when you release it, you'll have gaps in the rope.
That's a fact.
That's a pro tip. Don't be a hostage.
That's right.
Yep. And then after that, he took them to separate rooms and then stabbed them both to death.
Sure.
And then got the fuck out of there.
Omelets. Not good enough, apparently.
It wasn't good enough. I like Gruyere.
And so after that, they killed a traveling shoe salesman named Merle Collision.
Oh, Merle Collision! There's traveling shoe salesman!
Another born victim.
Oh, man. I've never felt more sad for a victim in my life.
Yeah.
Merle Collision, the traveling shoe salesman.
It's fun. He was just beating his wife.
Yeah. He was just singing songs, dancing around, clicking his heels.
It was Merle Collision.
The singing shoe salesman!
He was probably a guy who'd like... punch a dog on the street.
Well, I mean, dogs attack shoe salesmen quite often. I'm sure he's seen his fair share of...
It's my shoes! I'm trying to sell these shoes, dog!
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
It's a rough life for Merle.
And then after Merle, Merle was the last murder. And then Starkweather pusses out in the worst way possible. He's in a high-speed chase with the FBI. Mm-hmm. They start shooting at the back. At one point, he's going up to 120 miles an hour
this
trying
to
get away.
This is the 1950s,
yeah,
right?
Which is like the speed of light in the 1950s.
Exactly.
And it's Nebraska, so it's just straight.
Right.
There's no curves. There's no nothing. It's just straight, man. So he's going 120 miles an hour. The FBI is in sharp pursuit. One of the FBI guys leans out of the window, shoots out the back window of Starkweather's car. The glass shatters. The glass goes into the back of Starkweather's neck. He thinks that he's been shot, so he pulls over and gives himself up.
He's 17.
Yeah.
I've been shot!
Yeah,
no!
Yeah.
So, I knew I should have stabbed that Clara Ward bitch again.
So, you know, of course, he gets put into custody. He tries the insanity defense. It doesn't work. He was sentenced to die the very next year. They did not have the appeals process that we have now. They sentenced someone to death. They murdered the guy.
Yeah, and I heard the way they did it in Nebraska is they beat him to death with a bucket.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Then they put him in that bucket.
Yeah. And then Carol Fugit, she was tried. She was given life in prison initially, but she got parole in 1976, and as we said, is still alive today.
And again, being a woman is not easy, unless, of course, you're in the criminal justice system, in which case you get off much, much easier than the man. Tends to be the case.
Well, I also imagine
she brutally murdered this woman's vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hacked up a vagina.
And she was also charged with Merle Collision's murder.
She killed Merle Collision?
Well, I mean, again, it's the name. It's bad for women. It makes their vaginas dry up. You introduce Merle yourself as Merle Collision, they'd be like...
No, thank you.
And it's like, I'm just trying to sell you shoes. I got Reeboks. I got Nike.
Yeah, read the pump.
I never sold a shoe. My name is Merle Collision. And I can't move these shoes. They say it's my voice.
I agree with them.
So try to guess Charles Starkweather's last meal.
I'm going to go with corn on the cob because it's Nebraska.
Okay.
I imagine he's a kid. He's like 17. I bet it's literally like a bowl of cereal or like something horrible.
Cold cuts.
Ah, all right.
Yeah. That's something, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that just raw? Is this
just
meat,
it's just
right?
Something that my mom would have around the house. All she ever does is, that's all she talks about whenever I go home is just like, oh, I've got plenty of cold cuts in the fridge. And it's just like, thank you, Mom.
What is it with parents and shaved meats?
They love it.
Yeah, they can't get enough of this stuff.
They absolutely love it. So when he was on his way to execution, they asked if he'd like to donate his eyes, and he said, why should I? Nobody ever gave me anything.
They gave you a bunch of trash.
Yeah.
Garbage man.
And so he was taking the electric chair. They asked him if he had any last words. He just shook his head no, and fucking old Sparky took him off to hell.
There you go.
Well, that's another hero in the grave.
That's right. And of course, that's where all those, that's your Hollywood ending. Very classic Hollywood ending.
Yeah, really, the movie Badlands was made. And like, and I'm sure that there was a lot of Bonnie and Clyde imagery in their head as they were doing that. This is, in America, everybody's looking for, you know, we all want to be in the newspaper.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I think about it all the time.
He wanted to be James Dean with a gun.
That's right.
If I don't, you know, if second season of Pretty Face doesn't happen, who's to say that I can't get as much good attention?
Okay.
I could get even more YouTube.
Don't go down this road.
If I took like a flamethrower, right?
Uh-huh.
And then took it to an ice cream store. Wouldn't that be funny? That's a funny big crime.
Watch your pretty faces going to hell and email Henry and tell him you like it so then he doesn't go into an ice cream store and flamethrow everybody.
Just think about it. Frosty the Melt Man.
I'm going to have...
Murderers.
You know what? We're going to have to have him leave.
Yeah. Melty the Liquid. The Liquid Bandit. Liquid Ice Cream Massacre.
The Liquid Ice Cream Massacre. That's what you want your big crime spree to be called.
Yes.
All right. So that's...
I'm disappointed.
That's a Hollywood... That is a fun
Brought
Hollywood
Brought to you by
movie.
Slim Jim.
All right. I don't know why Slim Jim is sponsoring your spree killing thing.
I'm getting sponsorship.
Okay. Are there any more Hollywood killers?
Brought to you by Shoals Antiperspirant Pads.
I think it's going to go very, very well for you.
I mean, there are other smaller spree killings throughout. Usually the Hollywood-type killings, those are couples.
Right.
Usually those are people.
There's romance involved, the whole thing.
Because because, you know, there's so many stories of, like, the lone gunman, weird loners. It's refreshing to see two people find each other in such a unique way.
Yeah.
That they can express their love.
What are the odds? You know, what are the odds that you find somebody who is also a complete sociopath who wants to murder a bunch of folks in Nebraska?
It's hard enough to date as it is.
Yeah. That's right. All right, well, let's get in now to some more. Let's go to type two.
All right, type
two. These tend to be more loner types, right?
Yeah, type two, the most dangerous fad.
Oh, wow.
This happened mostly in the 80s.
Interesting. Thought you were talking about hypercolor t-shirts.
Like, if you look at a lot of these types of crimes, part two is people who are motivated by revenge against others or perceived wrongs. Workplace killings.
Which is just, this is a truly American phenomenon. I forgot what was the term. You guys did a good breakdown of mass shootings on Top Hat.
Yeah.
Where you guys
were
talking, it was like 44. America has 44. And then the next highest is like four.
I think it's 4 to 6.
Yeah,
in Australia.
We are breeding these people. Right. I watched an amazing documentary last night called Murder by Proxy, which was about post office killings of the 1980s and the early 1990s.
You have, if you're out, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Watch this documentary if you haven't seen it yet, and it will make you sympathize with the mind of a spree killer, of a murderer.
But I could totally, but part of me can even understand these guys. These are guys, like, because
the Postal Service guys.
The Postal Service guys. And also just, like, corporate mentality in America in general, where it's like people here, it's all about the bottom line.
That's right.
We get no vacation time. It's all about work. America's all about success. I was watching another.
There's no humanity whatsoever in the workplace.
None. Yeah. And it's because it's all about numbers. And
exactly. Another one of the big spree killings in the 80s was this guy, Mark Barton, who was a day trader.
Okay.
He killed 13 people, including his entire family.
This is a one-day event for
high
him.
Pressure. A one-day event, high-pressure job. He had lost like $105,000 in a day. Like, he just couldn't handle it anymore.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's just people who just can't fucking take it. They can't handle a high-pressure American corporate life.
And the idea of success in America, the concept of success is almost unreachable because it's supposed to inspire you to keep reaching beyond to keep moving higher and higher and higher up any
The idea of accomplishing your goals in America is wrong. You never accomplish your goals. You want more. You need it.
I watched this amazing doc, a serial killer doc that was on when you uploaded my hard drive from all the weird shit that you got.
Which one? The eight series? One's great.
Shared hard drives?
Yes.
Well, that transaction needed to be monitored by the FBI, I'll tell you that much. But did you guys wear a trench coat and exchange it in an alleyway somewhere in Midtown?
I wore a clown mask, and roller skates.
I'll be rolling by 47th Street and 8th Avenue at exactly 9:35 p.m. Be there
taking
with your hands
down
out.
The paradigm. Anybody, any one of you kids want to come take down the paradigm? With old clowny here.
Yeah. God, you're specifically creepy today.
Zippers the clown wants you guys to help take down the government.
Mom, this is a really bizarre birthday party. I think we need to get Zippers the clown out of here.
But this, he was talking about the idea of success in America is what drives serial killers a lot of the times. Because like these guys will hit 32, they have nothing to say for their lives because they can't fit in. They're not normal human beings. They have
a lot of these guys played by the rules up to this point.
Well, they've just done whatever they can just to make it, and then they find that they're hitting they're hitting blocks. They can't move past. They can't get promoted. They can't become a system manager because Jeffrey Dahmer is just not going to be in charge of the fucking chocolate line.
Right.
You know, he can squirt the Hershey's Kisses onto the fucking conveyor belt.
We can't trust him with wrapping them, though.
Absolutely not, because he keeps telling him, he's like, ain't it funny how sometimes when you look at the Hershey's Kisses from above, they're like the pupils of a big dead dude's eyes. And you're just like, well, I mean, we love your productivity.
That's right,
on the
Jeffrey.
Line.
It's great.
You don't want to be assistant manager, Jeffrey. You're just so good at squirting the chocolate. You're so good at it. Now get out of here. Don't kill me. All right.
Well, another thing that plays into that is that a lot of these guys have intelligent, like, they are very bad at everything in life except killing.
Well, that's what they discover.
They have a very specific kind of intelligence that is only applicable to fucking murdering people.
Right.
Like, you know, of course, we always talk about, like, Gary Ridgway. He's the best example of this.
The Green River
fucking
Killer, of course.
Moron. Just an absolute idiot in every other way of life, but at serial killing, he is the fucking top. He's
but
the
you
best.
Find what you're good at and you do it.
But for workplace killings,
and that's a very American way of thinking.
Right.
Yeah. But the workplace killings, I think nothing is quite as sad as what happened with the post office.
Yeah, what's
workers
the name of the guy who
the first
started
dude,
off the post office? And of course, this became huge in the American lexicon, going postal. Yeah. Like this whole thing.
This guy made it. His name was Patrick Sherrill.
Okay.
He did it in 1986. Again, this is a common example of what was going on at the in the U.S. Postal Service. Mm-hmm. It used to be a government branch. It used to be a place where back in the day,
so funded by the government, it was nonprofit.
Yeah, it was in the 1940s and 1950s. You know, the mailman was the dude that everybody loved. He was the guy who was just like, you know, like he's a little off because he just got back from World War II, and he's got a little bit of
Don't talk about the Asians. Don't talk about the Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even bring a spring roll anywhere near him.
Nowhere near. Yeah, no, don't order Chinese the day before.
So they, you know, but it turned into a corporation owned by the U.S. government.
Right.
And when that happened, these ideas of quotas started happening. Yeah, and like quotas, numbers, and efficiency, and it got to a point where the U.S. Postal Service is such a big system that to get the kind of efficiency that you want out of it, essentially you want to turn people into robots.
Right.
Like whether you're talking about like the machine in order to sort the mail, it slaps a letter down and you have 6 seconds to press the proper lever to send it to the proper part.
Right,
of
you have
the
to
post
look
office.
At the error code, look at the name, like send it to the right spot. And extremely stressful.
It's really stressful.
Eight hours.
Guy named Patrick Sherrill, again, U.S. Postal Service would hire a lot of vets. Like, these are guys who would come out of, like, warfare or, like, worked in the Navy, worked in Marines, did all these things. They're a little bit strung out because they've had to deal with a lot of shit. And they're working here because it's a nice, simple job where you just go and you bring mail to people. It's a good job for a good
person.
It's
a dangerous business model. We're like, we're going to hire all these vets. What are you going to do when they're employed by you? We're just going to poke them.
Well,
every day we're just going to slowly poke them until they go crazy.
Because the corporate motto came down, this idea of like bust their chops, be really aggressive with them in order to get their numbers up. And the big thing was is to find the most aggressive dudes. Find guys who are really tied to the unions. Guys that either complain or say stuff about like things are going on in the office. Or literally the scariest dude in the office. It was like prison rules. It was like find the scariest dude in the office, debase him in front of everybody, mm-hmm. and then get them, and then basically be like, well, we can debase him, and he's a scary dude.
Mm-hmm.
We're debasing Patrick. You know, that's like right. Everyone's telling everybody that they're fucking Patrick's wife, doing all this. Like they start.
They really tormented this guy.
Patrick was a popular guy. People looked up to him.
Yeah,
because he stood up for the other workers.
Absolutely. And then one day he fucking freaked out.
So let's get into his killings. How many people did he kill?
He killed 14.
It was 14.
The third biggest mass killing at the time in America's history when it happened.
Oh, we made up for that. We definitely made up for some lost ground there.
So basically, shortly after 7 a.m. on August 20th in 1986, Sherrill began his rampage by shooting Richard Esser Jr., one of the two supervisors who had disciplined him on the previous day. He got fired and then just came right back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And his position was a relief carrier. And relief carriers have, as far as postal carriers go, they have the most high-stress job because they take different routes every day, and they have very little job stability because they can be replaced in an instant. Like, there are certain guys who have, like, that same route every single day.
They
know the route. They do it for
years.
They make connections with the people that they can see every day. It's like this mild, like, sort of a more of a romantic tale. If you ever read Bukowski's Postal Service, it's called Postal Service.
But that's
Postman.
Why he loved
Postman,
it.
Yeah.
That's why he loved that job because he could just
seems
get
like
drunk
hell on
and
earth,
go
though.
Do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But this guy wasn't so much of a drinker.
So what this guy basically did, so he went and he just killed all the bosses. He killed all of the he went and got Richard, who was a boss, and then sadly the one that he was going for, Bill Bland Jr.
Ugh, Bill Bland Jr.
Which is just like, can you imagine? It's just like, name's Bill Bland. I hope you guys know that, you know, Patrick's a pussy. You know, just it's like, what? What'd you say?
Exactly.
Hey, guys. Anybody knows that Bill's talking any shit recently?
Bill Bland. Bill
Calm
Bland.
Down, buddy.
He holed himself up in his goddamn office.
But basically, he killed 14 people. He went for all of the bosses. And then, you know, he would shoot people randomly. He locked up the doors to the office when he showed up to the warehouse, which is a common thing. You also see in the Virginia Tech shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And also a plan of a woman in that documentary was this great, like, 300-pound, 60-year-old woman who was, like, talking about how she was forced to work that letter-sorting machine. And
is a great example of how these situations can make anybody go crazy.
But
this is a sweet 60-year-old woman who literally admits to sociopathic, psycho thoughts
about
murder.
Like, you know, I was watching them, and I knew that there was one door that led to the office in general, and they had another door that led
to the main floor, and I just knew that if I just put rags under the other door and then threw a Molotov cocktail in the other door, I'd get all of them.
She is one. She is one person stealing her stapler away from being like Milton in Office Space.
But so,
but the weird thing about this is with Shipley. What's his last name?
Cheryl. Cheryl. Patrick Cheryl.
After this, the nobody says that he was a bad man. Everybody they interview, everyone's first sentence is just like, yeah, they were really mean to him and they were terrible managers. Like, everyone kind of agrees with what
it's
he did.
It's really fucked up. The computer they were like, you know, I hate to say anything bad about the dead, but if they were going to get somebody, he got the good ones.
He got, everyone agrees with who he killed. This is what's different than, you know, the first folks that we talked about. Mm-hmm. It's like these folks weren't necessarily
innocent. They become like Robin Hoods to other killers, you know. And then there was another.
It set off a rash of Postal Service killings.
Right,
and then other ones too. It's like then the first outside of the Postal Service shooting that happened in America, which was at the Standard Gravure. I forget, it was like a mine. It was like another like warehouse place where it was like a guy named Joseph Westbecker. He entered.
Westbecker.
Yeah, he entered this place, the Standard Gravure like company, and he shot up a bunch of people and then went to his apartment and they found all these pictures of Patrick Sherrill all over his house.
Sure.
And him just being like, and having all these articles on mass killings, basically saying like, this was what I needed to do. He showed me the way.
Patrick Sherrill's just on a cross, crucified, a bunch of candles all around him.
Well, now you're starting to sound like our Virginia Tech killer who compared himself to Jesus Christ in his fucking suicide video.
Very intriguing. Yeah. And he fits into category number two as well, right?
Killer?
No, he's loosely. He's just more of a wackaloon, which is type four.
Yeah. Oh, wackaloon's type four.
Yeah, next to the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, which is type five.
No, exactly. Type two's mostly revenge killings. But you're right. Type two and type five do play into each other quite a bit, but we'll get to type five later. Type five is by far the biggest category.
All right.
Like, that's without a doubt the biggest one.
Oh, so, yeah, especially for all the Toucan Sams who live there.
Yeah. Right. That way, and we'll get to, in type five, we'll get to restaurant killings like the McDonald's one, the Luby's one, Virginia Tech. Like,
wait, okay. Well, so with type two, any more situations as far as office killings go and stuff like that?
Like, of course, I said, Mark Barton was a guy that.
And how many did Barton take down?
13.
13, okay.
And he took down 11, or I believe 10. In his office.
And this is the day trader.
Yeah, and he was a day trader. He was just a...
Just assault rifle?
Let's see here.
I mean, a lot of this is the fact that these people can get these gigantically powerful guns.
Some of it is, but the Postal Service, that guy, I think he just had a handgun, didn't he?
He just had guns, yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty badass handguns, but this guy, he had a Colt 45, a 9mm, a 22 revolver, and a Raven MP25.
Relatively classic.
I thought it was an actual giant bird.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
And also a warhawk?
Yeah.
No, a raven.
12 MP. Of them were shot in the head, and the other one, like this raven, plucked it to death. Really kind of weird.
Ah, beware the raven.
So I guess we don't charge him for that death. We got to arrest that raven.
You got to get that bird. I don't know where that bird went. I know it's bigger than. I mean, it's got to be bigger.
Yeah.
And a Raven MP25, it's a woman's gun.
It's a tiny
little gun that fits in the purse. It's like a Derringer.
Okay.
Sometimes a woman's got to kill people on a date.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman should have a Derringer or a Raven.
And Barton, you know, his background, he had mental health issues. A lot of mental health. He had anxiety issues. He had depression issues.
It does kind of sound like a vibrator, doesn't it? The Raven.
Oh, except it's just got like wings that just flap.
That would work.
Yeah. No, he killed his wife and two kids, his son and his daughter. He put a note on each of them, like, "I lay thee down to rest, my wife, Leanne Vandiver."
That's so nice.
You know, and said,
"You know,
like,
Dad,
I love
you. Don't gotta kill me." You know, I like the note. Nice sympathy here,
Dad. How about I just go? How about I just get out of here?
You go to work.
Yeah,
you get out of here.
Yeah. And this was in Atlanta, by the way. Yeah. So that, you know, those are the biggest ones. Those are your top revenge spree killers.
And I'm sure by the time this episode comes out later on...
next week, there'll be at least three or four more that we wouldn't have gotten to cover.
Right.
Yep. And so type 3 and type 4 kind of go together a little bit. All These are your guys that blow their loads all at once. They're guys who could be serial killers if they only had the patience.
So is this a sexual thing?
Yeah, this is mostly it's a sexual thing. It's a power thing. They share a lot more with serial killers than they do with spree killers.
It's kind of rare, right? For a sexual spree killing?
Well, because part of what gives a serial killer his sexual thrill is like the close up, like, and then I turn his penis into a flower.
Wow.
It's like, what?
Kind of weird.
Yeah. These are the people, they commit crimes for power, for sexual pleasure. They almost always rape and torture the people that they kill.
Sure.
I also hear this
in
referred
very
a lot of time
brutal ways.
Is to rampage killings.
Yeah. This is also a kind of rampage killing. And then type 4 are people who will pull the people in, like your short-term Buffalo Bills. Like the guys who will say, like, could you help me with this couch? And then they bring them in through some sort of ruse or plot.
Through a Bundy-type situation.
Yeah, and a Bundy-type situation.
Well, actually, because Boston Strangler was very similar with that, too, because he would dress up as, like, plumbers and shit and show up at old lazy houses and then, you know, rape them.
Yeah. Do what he does.
And the most famous one out of all
these... I would like to
see
somebody just run into an office, shoot it up with a big old hard-on, jacking off the whole time. It'd be real confusing, you know?
Yeah.
Is that Tom jacking off over there? And then he's shooting everybody.
He keeps waving at people going, hey, mister!
Hi, how are you? And he was on time for work, so I guess he's not the worst.
Yeah.
But the most
the thing about the Postal Service guy, 7 a.m.
7 a.m., that's early.
Right, bright and early.
I mean, I just don't think he was sleeping.
Right,
I don't think,
right.
That's like one of those things. It's not like you're like... Oh, like get up and make your pot of coffee, right. And it's like maybe I'll have some avocado and eggs before I do this.
Just wake up, just big day today. Big day,
everybody.
Woo, gotta get up.
Yeah,
it is a big day.
Most famous type 3 killer, Richard Speck.
Yeah,
Richard Speck is one of the greatest stories of all time. So, honestly, had a wonderful prison experience.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's get into his crimes.
So, Richard Speck, first thing you want to know about Richard Speck is that he had an abusive stepfather who was described as hard-drinking and peg-legged.
Hard-drinking and peg-legged? Well, that's going to breed a spree killer.
Those are
right
both
there.
Just like, of all the characteristics of, like, good father,
right,
they
right,
are
right.
not on
it's
the
never
list.
Hard-drinking and peg-legged. God, that's my favorite. We need to write a character that's hard-drinking and peg-legged.
I have to. His name was Carl August Rudolph Lindbergh.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
Come on. He had to act some of those
things. That's a peg-legger.
We just call him peg-legger.
He had a 25-year criminal record. He was an awful man. Because Speck, actually, his father was supposed to be a pretty good guy. He was very close to his father. His father died when he was 6. Mother remarried good old Carl Lindbergh when he was...
Like, I liked him because of his crooked walk.
Yeah.
And how mean he was.
The way he would just
you
drink
love
and
him,
hit
little
me.
Richard.
Oh, he's great. What's he like, Mommy? He's all peg-legged and drunk.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
So she married Carl not long after Richard's father died, and the example that Carl set for him was being a drunk and a criminal.
Sure.
Richard Speck, he started drinking when he was 10.
Oh, and hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew where the party was.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty standard age for Wisconsin.
Yeah, and when he was 10, he moved to Texas, moved to Dallas.
It's pretty standard age for Texas, too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He went from Illinois to Texas. He went from 1 to 10 in Illinois, 10 to 24 in Texas, lived in Dallas. In the 14 years that he lived there, he was arrested 41 times. An average of about 3 times
a
year.
And what kind of crimes are we talking here?
I mean, we're talking petty theft. We're talking getting in a fight.
Panty raiding.
You know.
He painted a dude's car for him, and he was
just
like,
nice,
I didn't
though.
Ask for it. Yeah, I know. I thought it was nice.
Yeah.
But he's like, but he didn't ask for it.
He painted the windows, though.
Yeah,
he didn't
understand. Covered
you
in
have
black
to see
paint.
It through him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picking flowers. That's a crime in Texas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Petty.
Disrespecting the Alamo.
That is a crime in Texas.
It's definitely a crime
in
Texas.
Yeah, he said, fuck the Alamo. And they're like, what?
Whoa,
say?
Buddy, we lost that war. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, he was one of those assholes who got Born to Hell tattooed on his arm.
Yeah.
Or Born to Raise Hell.
Fuck
born
yeah.
Born to Raise Hell.
That's what I want.
He was one of those guys.
Davy Crockett had a stupid hat. No.
Get rid of him, Dano.
So in 1966, Richard Speck...
Get rid of him, Dano.
I don't know. Sometimes sentences come out of your mouth and they're like, "I got, yeah, that's the... I'm going with it. Get rid of him, Dano." All right. So we all need more sleep. All right. So we got Richard Speck here.
1966, he commits his first major crime.
Okay.
He breaks into an old woman's house, a 65-year-old woman named Virgil Harris...
Born victim.
Again, another... That's the thing.
Right, that's the thing. If you're born with that name, how do you not think you're going to get murdered?
A woman named Virgil.
A woman named Virgil and a man named Merle.
This
I mean, they're
my
both going to die.
Harold.
Virgil and Harold.
So he broke into her house. He robbed her. He blindfolded her. He tied her up and he raped her.
Okay. Now she's a little bit older, though. 65-year-old, huh?
Yeah.
He's right. Just a little bit older. Not the freshest chicken in the coop.
I mean, if you're going to rape, I mean, don't you think you would just, like, go young? Wouldn't you, like, go for, like,
I mean, I'm not going to fully get into it, but I would say...
You would think that you would want to rape somebody. I mean, you're doing a
violent crime.
It's just
easier.
Sure. Right. Okay.
So about a week...
I won't go into it.
About a week later, he killed a woman named Mary Kay Pierce in an empty hog house behind the tavern where she was.
She's always hanging out in the empty hog house, though.
Yeah, just been up, man. Where are all the pigs at? This is the whole house devoted to hogs, and you mean to tell me there ain't one in here? Oh, who is that? Oh!
Now, I'll tell you, if there was a stepson of a drunken peg legger, if he would just come in here, if the stepson of a drunken peg legger would just come in here, he could just kill me.
Said I have a peg leg, I have a peg arm. Yeah, come get that. Boom, 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 boom. And he used that pig arm to fucking stick it in
Well,
women.
That's not far from the truth. He had a very strong punching fist.
Yeah. Very much so, because Mary Kay Pierce was killed by being punched in the stomach.
This is actually how he murdered a lot of people.
Which ruptured her liver. Yeah. And he also, one of his later victims, the same thing. Punched him so hard and knew exactly where to punch him to fucking rupture the liver and kill them fairly quickly.
No weapon. And two.
I didn't know that.
No weapons, no guns, no knives. Just punched him in the fucking stomach.
What?
And he died.
That's how Harry Houdini died.
Yeah. I know. It's fucking weird.
Is he
possible.
A time traveler?
Is Richard Speck Harry Houdini? He did turn himself into a woman.
So these two crimes, he was never officially charged
with.
It's
a magic trick, isn't it?
He was never officially charged with because the evidence against him was circumstantial.
It's hard to with the punching crimes.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, how they think he was associated with it is
they
because...
They just have his arm wrapped in
I
evidence
I just
bag.
Wish they could take me up to space so I could punch the moon.
They found objects from the old lady's house in his in the flop house where he was staying, and he was known to hang out around the hog
like
house.
Like Brillo pads and just like old panties.
It seems like the hog house is where he would stay, now, practicing his punch on old hog walls.
He's got himself a bunch of hard black licorice candies. Did he kill that old lady? Why do you got all these bad candies?
I swear to God, there was a size 72 panty in that room over there. I had never seen that. It looked like a top. I'm sure it must have been on the old broad backside of an old woman.
Is this a
named Virgil?
It says Virgil's name on it.
Yeah, Virgil in poop.
So after he got questioned... God damn it.
Virgil in poop is the name of my first comedy album. Virgil in poop.
So he gets questioned by the police, and immediately he skips town. He goes back to Illinois.
Okay.
He goes to this place called Monmouth, Illinois. Ugh. He starts getting into trouble again. So he calls up his sister in Chicago and says, "Hey, sis, he said he had to leave Monmouth, quote, after refusing to sell narcotics for a crime syndicate there."
Oh, wow. Okay. I've heard the way he traveled, too, is that he would just punch the ground and shoot through the air.
Incredible Hulk, yeah.
And then once he went to Chicago, he became a sailor for a bit. He was started to work on the Great Lakes.
Okay.
And, of course, he loved sailing.
I can believe that. Yeah, I can believe
that. He loved it.
Punching seals all the live long day. He'd punch an iceberg, find oil.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this guy, Popeye?
But, of course, the sailing community completely rejected him.
Why? How do you get rejected by the sailing community?
The sailing community is made of misfits.
That's the whole point of the sailing community. You're in the middle of the ocean because no one wants you
on
land.
To be completely frank, I'm surprised that there is a sailing community.
That's true. That is true.
Well, there's a lot of sailing jobs out there, and sure. he just kept going from company to company, just never fit in. And at Poor this Richard. Point, his life is falling apart. He finds something that he likes to do, but he's just not good at it. And he's everything is falling apart in his life. He's just been in and out of jail.
He doesn't know what a sail is. He can't find the ropes. He keeps sinking. Like, he'll jump off the side, and he just sinks straight to the bottom of the
ocean. He doesn't know how to flap his huge hand.
And so finally,
how do you fail at sailing, though?
You're just, sailing. Have you ever been sailing?
No.
It's hard.
Is it hard?
Okay. Oh, there's a lot of bells and whistles.
I've been on a cruise to Cozumel.
All right. We don't need to discuss your buffet trip.
Yeah, you get a...
It's like we're in a food court. This is great, mommy. This is great.
So after he gets kicked out of the sailing community, I just love saying sailing.
It's a bizarre thing to get kicked out.
He goes to stay with his sister. They get sick of him after a while, so you got to get the fuck out of here, because he's a creepy guy.
Of course.
You know, he's not doing well in life.
Yeah, absolutely, and he keeps wrapping his hand in chain and going, everybody, y'all better respect the hand.
So
it's like, we are trying to have brunch, Richard.
He was terrible at brunch.
So on the day of the crime, everything's gone to shit. He's living in a flop house. He's getting drunk all the time because he's a hardcore alcoholic.
Sure.
He's day drinking with this woman, Ellie Mae Hooper. Who's about 53. He pulls out a knife. He takes her back to his room at the Shipyard Inn. Still not letting go.
He loves the nautical theme, doesn't
he?
Really
sleep on old bunched up nets.
So he rapes her back there, and he steals her .22 caliber pistol.
And this is his big day.
This but the is, big thing he just doesn't really understand, she doesn't understand, is that you can't have consensual sex at the Shipyard Inn.
No. That's it's really not possible. Not when you're the son of a drunken peg legger.
So he rapes her. He steals her gun. He goes back to the same bar where he was drinking before, except he had dressed himself all in black before he had left. Drinks there for a while, and he decides he's going to go take a walk.
Yeah.
He's going to make a name for himself here.
What year is this?
1966.
Okay.
So he goes and takes a walk, and he sees a real pretty girl in a green dress. He sees
what kind
this
of dress. What's she look like?
She's pretty in a green dress.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Tall? Real tall?
She's not that tall. She's sort of tall.
Long legs.
Yeah, I'm sure she has long legs.
Long blonde hair.
I think she might be a brunette.
Perfect target.
And that's the inner monologue of Mr. Speck when he watched that beautiful woman in a green dress.
So he follows this woman for about a mile and a half to 2319 East 100th Street.
I mean, how sweaty and winded did he get there? He's pissed drunk, right? A mile and a half? I feel like I'm being followed. There's a man zigzagging behind
me. Keep going like, hey, 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 hey.
Is he a drunken sailor? No, they kicked me out.
Ex-sailor.
So at this point, he gets to a house where it's a dormitory for a nursing school.
Jackpot! You're just following one chick, and then she just brings you to all the other women? Yes.
Oh my god, it's Pantytown, USA!
There's 9 women inside. He murders 8 of them.
Okay.
One survives. Her name is Cora Amorau.
Oh, yeah, that's a name that survives.
That's a survivor name. Yeah.
Cora Amorau, she survives the whole thing. Here's her account of what happened. She hears 4 knocks on the door, and she's the first person to see the guy. She greets him at the door. She sees a very tall man dressed all in black standing in the doorway. He's already got the gun drawn, and he says, "Where are your companions?" Pushes his way in.
Recompense. You know when you're really drunk and you try to sound sober? Excuse me, will you tell me where your compatriots at?
My companions? My friends?
I was just wondering if you had any companions and where they would be.
Hey, Elizabeth, I think your new boyfriend's here. He's real drunk.
So at this time, women start waking up throughout. This woman, Merlita, she gets out of bed and
they've all got close to Merle. It's the female version of Merle. Merlita.
They've all got real goofy 1966 names. I mean, we're just gonna go ahead and say this right now.
No, Merle always wanted a boy, but we had a girl, so he went with Merlita.
And which is Merle is pretty much the most masculine name that you could get, and so we knew that we were pretty much damning Merlita to a horrible death.
Yeah. Of course. And so now he starts going to the bedrooms, knocking on the doors, waking up the
just
girls.
Just picture Merlita looks like John Candy when John Candy plays a woman in Nothing But Trouble. When John Candy plays his own twin sister.
Sailor!
Like, there's no way that Merlita's the tracker,
oh,
right?
Big and strong, aren't you?
I can't believe Merlita wasn't the one hanging out in the empty hog pit.
This is my friend Merlita. Charmed, I'm sure!
Oh, no, she reminds me of my peg-legged drunken stepfather.
So he starts
gathering... No, she's got 2 feet, but she just walks with one big step.
So he gathers all of these women in the living room, and he tells them, I want some money. I'm going to New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Hell so, yeah.
Learn some jazz, yeah.
And so he starts getting all their money. It's at this time that a woman named Gloria Davey comes home. She's drunk. She opens the door to the bedroom where he's got all of them. Excuse me, bedroom, not living room.
Okay.
And it says, Cora said that she screamed a low guttural scream when she saw...
She's a real Pavarotti. All right, we understand what it sounds like. No one wants to hear it. No one wants to hear it. Jesus Christ, it's disgusting.
So one by one, he starts tying up their feet. And then at this time, two
Again,
more nurses.
Wait, there's 8 of you. How can't you beat Richard Speck? I mean, the man is about to have tits in prison.
People are used to following orders.
Again, do not. Get your feet bound. If your friends are getting their feet bound, hit them in the head with a hammer.
Well, two other nurses came home, and they tried running away. Speck chased him down and stabbed him both to death.
He's an alcoholic, fat man, wasted
off
of his ass.
He just went ahead and just stabbed all of them?
Not all of them. No, he did one at a time. It's just those two girls came home, they opened the bedroom door, and they fucking bolted. And he had the 22 and the knife on him. He never intended to use the 22. He was only using the 22 as a means
to get them
as a hostage weapon.
Yeah.
He wanted to kill them all with a knife. He had it in his mind that he's going to kill these women with a knife completely.
Sure.
And so it's at this point that the women tried squeezing themselves under the bunk beds. They tried squeezing themselves under the bed to hide away from Speck.
Yeah,
oh, he'll never find us under the bunk beds.
Yeah, Merlita had her gigantic turkey leg, and that was hard. She was just like, they're like, let go with the turkey leg, Merlita. She's like, oh, but what if I get hungry?
So he starts, Cora, the woman who gave
not
this
now,
account.
Not now, Merlita. You've got to put it down. We're about to be murdered.
At this point, Cora is taken back. Cora has hit herself, but Speck starts coming to the room, picking girls up, taking them to the bathroom, strangling them, putting them under the water, and then stabbing them. And she can hear all of this going on.
It's real trifecta.
He does this 3 times to a woman named Valentina, to a woman named Masakit.
Masakit and Valentina and Merlita? Is this the ugliest home for women?
No. That's her last name. Her name is Pat Matusset.
Matusset?
Matusset. And she was described...
to the victims of this violent
crime. I'm just saying, it's just... If you're born with the victim's name, you know.
The woman Pat Matusik, she was an athletic 155-pound bruiser.
Whoa!
Yeah. And Cora heard him ask, she was the woman that Speck followed.
Okay.
And by the way, it was a yellow dress, not a green
one. Oh, a yellow dress.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he followed the refrigerator home?
Beer goggles, my friend. Beer goggles. I mean, just wanted to...
That right there, that's the prettiest woman I've ever seen in my life. Just John Candy walking by and fucking...
And Pat...
I must say, you are a fine specimen.
Thank you very much.
And nobody ever says things like that to me.
It's been so hard for me to find love.
And Pat is the woman that he punched in the stomach so hard he fucking killed her.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the double. The
yeah, and he
yeah.
brought it back. Yeah, he brought his Hadouken back.
Hadouken! That is pretty remarkable to just know you can punch a woman in the stomach and kill her.
You just know for a fact that you could punch someone to death.
Yeah. That's pretty bizarre.
And so it's at this point with the very last girl, at least that he knows of, because he's forgotten about Cora completely. She's hidden under the bed.
Right.
It's at this point that he's built up enough juice in his system where he decides it's rape time. So he rapes this girl, Gloria, and it said...
Like a kitchen bell go off or something like that? Is there like something that...
I got no
idea. Ah, that's a song I play when it's time for me to rape.
It's rape time.
And so after he rapes her, he kills her, he leaves, and Cora survives. Cora climbs out of a window, like over a ledge, and she starts screaming... they're all dead, they're all dead, all my friends are dead. Over and over again.
So what happened to your friends? Are they okay?
And then the police come, and their account of the scene is just so fucking gruesome. It's truly a case of new guys in his in the corner puking his guts out.
Yeah. Right.
Like, there's every policeman who goes in, like, like there's a guy outside that's just, like, green.
It just becomes a game at that point.
And all the police are like, what's the matter? Can't take the heat? And they walk in, and they immediately come out just...
Exactly. Like a bumpy ride at Six Flags.
Over and over again. Just
the Richard Chase, that's what they were talking about. When they walked in, they saw like he had played with the guts of the pregnant woman, and everyone just like, before you go in there, I just want to prep everyone to say, it's a unique situation.
Right. Have you ever seen the movie Stand By Me, where the fat boy, played by Mr. Conley, vomits
Erase that.
Don't worry.
Have you ever seen the movie League of Your Own? It's like that, but imagine all the girls are dead by punching.
How'd she die? It was a dead by punching.
Well, this one's a real Marla Hooch over here.
So Speck is on the lam right now. Sure. He's out and about in Chicago.
Hanging
the police,
out.
However, have a sketch of him.
We're looking for a man with a real big hand.
Yep. They have a sketch of him. They know that he has the tattoo, born to raise hell. 2 days after this, the murders happened, Speck tries to kill himself, but he fails. He ends up in the hospital, and one of the physicians on call at the moment, he sees the tattoo. He recognizes the guy's face. The police were called. Speck was arrested.
Do we know how he tried to kill himself?
No, we don't.
Okay.
He punched himself in the stomach.
Doesn't work on me. I'm immune to my own man punch.
And so, of course, he's found guilty, and he's sentenced to die, but he keeps doing appeals over and over again.
Our legal system is extremely flawed.
Yeah, and then his sentence was commuted to life in prison.
Sure.
But
his prison
is the
experience
best
1988.
Right. Now, how long has he been in prison for? About 20 years at this point.
At this point, yeah, he's been in prison for 20 years.
So he's in his 40s now.
Did he break out of prison by punching through a wall?
They have to keep him in a steel cage. Whatever.
In 1996, a Chicago television news anchor named Bill Curtis, he receives a videotape made in 1988. And in this videotape, my God.
Oh, my God.
For some reason, they decide... showing this videotape at the Illinois State Legislature is a good idea.
Okay, what's this videotape all about?
Let's just put that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Sure. Explicit scenes of sex, drug use, money being passed around by prisoners, and in the center of it all was Richard Speck blowing another inmate.
Hell yeah,
that'll
dude.
Happen. Born
yeah.
to raise hell. Mm-hmm. You know it.
He had grown tits. Mm-hmm. Big sloppy tits.
Really, and if you get a chance, YouTube it. You can find it on YouTube. Miraculous breasts. Really quite perfect.
Having just a fantastic bowl cut, as was the style at the time.
That's right, for a lot of ladies.
And the most shocking part of it, I'm sure, was the blowjob. I cannot find the full video.
Well, there's a bunch of cocaine.
I mean, the full video. The
prison's
video,
the best thing that ever happened to him.
He literally has the quote, if they knew...
What a
good time I was having, they would let me out of here.
Yeah.
He's in prison. He
said
eight women.
If they only knew how much fun I was having, they'd turn me loose.
He was having a remarkable time.
Especially
granted, his asshole
he's become
was,
the fucking... He's
the town butt.
Yeah.
He's the girl in the yellow dress.
Yeah. The most we can find on the internet is maybe 2 minutes of an A&E documentary. The actual video is 2 hours long.
Right.
And it's
two hours of it.
You imagine there's one congressman though in 88 being like, well, let's just watch it till the end.
Well, I'm just curious now. I'm just curious to see as to how large and voluptuous the man's breasts can be. Well, so, Mr. Senator, we really need to get through this. I demand as a senator.
And in the video that you can see on the internet, it's Richard Speck and another inmate who's just like the coolest fucking dude on earth. He's wearing sunglasses.
Hell yeah.
He's, you know, just fucking leaning back, sharing a huge plate of cocaine with Richard Speck.
Massive.
And Richard Speck is sitting there with no shirt on, showing off his titties, wearing silk panties.
Hell, oh man.
Johnny Depp in the movie Blow does not do as much cocaine
And so
as Richard
he's finally
Speck
he's the woman he's always wanted to be.
He is. He's the happiest lady in town. I cannot imagine.
He's
how
a regular
large
Dolly Parton in there.
Well, I mean, God knows, yeah.
And for years, he had denied that he was...
More natural breasts, probably, than Dolly.
For years, he denied that he was the perpetrator of the crimes. He's like, no, I didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. This video is the first time that he admits doing it.
Admits it on this party video?
On this party video, yeah.
I'm Every Woman is playing in the background, and him just be like, oh, you bet I did it, and I'd do it again!
And a prisoner asked him, another prisoner says, like, do you kill those nurses? And he said, sure I did. And they asked him why. He just kind of shrugged and he said, just wasn't their night.
I mean, man. He's talking like...
But tonight's my night.
Yeah.
This is ladies.
And they asked him... He's talking like he wants a seltzer drink. Well, sure I did. Not sure I will. I'm a seltzer. Yeah.
And they asked him like how he felt about killing him. And he said, like I always felt. Had no feeling. If you're asking me if I felt sorry, no.
He's not sorry at all. Yeah, he's living the dream.
He's living his life because he finally found out where he fit in.
I mean,
it's actually a good story.
He's not good at killing, but he's better at being in prison.
I mean, it's not the boating community, but it's something.
It's close enough. Minus the seasickness, it's very similar to the boating community, I think.
And he asked in detail to the experience of strangling someone, and he said, it's not like TV. It takes over 3 minutes, and you have to have a lot of strength.
And thank God I got this big. Punching hand. And they're like, yay. And then he's just like, suck my titties.
They love to suck his titties, by the way.
And he died of a heart attack in prison.
Natural
causes. I
guess
that's what happens. Yeah, you know, live fast, die young.
That's right. Yeah. How old was he when he died?
He was...
He lived until his 60s, right?
Yeah, I think so. He was pretty old when he died.
He had a full life.
He had a full life in prison. He enjoyed being a bitch.
I could just imagine him sitting in jail, just sitting there all fucked up and sad about how everything has happened. And then his like roommate's just like, hey, man, I made an extra muffin in the prison microwave. You want one? He's like, sure.
That's very nice of you.
Thank you.
That's very nice of you.
Hey, you know what, man? You know what would be really great is if you got yourself a big set of honkers. I never even thought about that.
You know, I got a buddy who has estrogen treatments that we can sneak right
in.
He snuck in estrogen treatments.
Don't the prison guards get together and just be like, y'all notice that Richard's getting like a... Big tits. Like just a huge set of tits.
I like it.
I'm fine with it, too.
Well,
right.
It makes them easier to look at.
That's for sure.
And that's what the video was all about. That's why they showed it in the state legislature, because it just showed how fucked up the prison system was and how bad the Illinois state prison system fucked up an entire prison.
And also just really sad about how that's what the government used to be like as well. And it's just like, well, if we all just get invited to Bohemian Grove... Maybe we could get a part of the action.
Live that Richard Speck kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, and they were watching the video just fine in the legislature until the oral sex scene came around. They're like, nope, turn it off.
I love watching all the way through.
Not appropriate.
You know, can we just pause it right there? Yes.
It's like they stuck in time, and they're doing it forever. Like the good times never end.
So now that we've stopped the tape, can I take that home with me? I just want to show it to the family.
I just need some further research for my future legislation.
Again. See, my pen ran out of ink about halfway through, and I got some more notes I want to take. I only got the word blow down. I need to finish it with the job. All right, so let's move on to number 4.
Dude, we have to make this a two-parter.
I think we're going to have... We actually haven't even gotten to the fucking big hitters.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten to Charles Whitman, who is my boy. We haven't gotten to fucking... I just feel bad for Charles Whitman.
So do I.
Because he had these headaches. My head is killing me.
That's right. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, then we're missing my other boy, old boy. Ching Song Tao. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Sung Cho. It's pretty easy. It's a basic Korean name.
I think it's both his name, and it also means a rice dish. In which the bottom is caramelized.
Well, now you forced us to end the episode. Now you forced it.
And we also got James Oliver Huberty, the McDonald's killer. Right. George Henner, the Luby's killer.
We got
Martin Bryant, the Australian Port
Arthur
massacre.
We're definitely doing a two-parter.
We'll do a two-parter.
And world champion, Anders Breivik.
Oh, of course we have to talk about Mr. Breivik. All right, great.
Again, doing it just the way, you know, good old standard Nordic Aryan men do it.
Jesus Christ.
The fucking ultimate way.
Efficiency.
We'll talk about it in the next episode, everybody. So that's Spree Killers Part 1 of 2. Hail Satan.
Hey, Heil Geen.
Hail me!
Magustalations, and of course, hail yourself.
Hey, grow some tits. People will like you better.
Oh, yeah. Get some blow and get some tits. Go to prison.